May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Legend has it that a long time ago, a monk and his aide, a brother, were traveling far from home when the monk instructed the brother to go ahead and search for lodging for the night. The brother found a small hovel in the middle of nowhere. He knocked on the door and quickly learned that a very poor family lived there. The father did not hesitate to invite the monk and brother to spend the night and offered them a simple meal consisting of milk, cheese, and cream. The brother was moved by their hospitality and willingness to share their food and their home. After the dinner, the monk asked them how they were able to survive. The man explains that they have one cow and are able to sell milk to their neighbors and hold back what they need to live on and to make cheese and cream. He exclaimed, "That's how they survive." The next morning, the monk and brother said their goodbyes, thanked the family, and continued on their journey. After walking a couple of miles, the wise monk told the brother to go back and push the cow over the cliff. The brother pleaded with the monk, "Father, they live off that cow. Without their cow, they will have nothing." The monk repeated his order, "Go back and kill the cow." The brother was quite sad and worried deeply about what would happen to the family. However, he had taken a vow of obedience, so he went back and pushed the cow over the cliff. Years later, after the brother himself became a monk, he found himself on the same road where years earlier he had stayed with the poor family. With a sense of true remorse, he decided to visit the family. As he rounded the final turn, to his surprise, he saw a splendid mansion. On the spot where the shack used to stand, surrounded by beautiful gardens. The monk knocked on the door and a well-dressed man answered. Not recognizing him, the monk asked, "What happened to the family that used to live here?" The man said that he and his family had always lived on the property and proceeded to invite the monk to stay the night. Over dinner, the man explained how their fortunes in life had changed. "We used to own a cow. She kept us alive. We owned nothing else. Then one day, the cow fell over the cliff and died. To survive, we had to develop new skills we didn't even know we had. It was the best thing that ever happened to us." We all like happy endings, and this story ended well, with the family using their skills to succeed. But in the middle of the story, the monk's command to kill the cow shocked and jarred us. In today's gospel lesson, there is a happy ending for the servants who were given 5 and 2 talents and doubled the value. But we are shocked and jarred by the eternal punishment given to the servant who received 1 talent and buried it to protect it. We also are jarred by the fact that these harsh words spoken to the 1 talent man are entirely Jesus' words. Or as one of our staff members said at our Wednesday office meeting when we discussed today's gospel, "Jesus must have been having a really bad day." But just like the monk who knew it was best for the poor family to lose their cow, Jesus knows what is best for us, and we are asked to trust him. In order to understand why some of us could even consider that Jesus was having a bad day, let's put today's gospel reading into context. This parable, the parable of the talents, is found in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Chapters 23, 24, and 25 constitute the final discourse of Jesus and take place during the beginning of Holy Week between Palm Sunday and Holy Thursday, first in the temple and then on the Mount of Olives. During his last days on earth, Jesus certainly did not mince words. He denounced the scribes and Pharisees as religious hypocrites, predicted the destruction of the temple, and discussed signs of the end of the age. This discourse also included parables that underscore the absolute need to be prepared for the Master's return. In other words, for Jesus' return. Jesus tells us the story of the faithful servant who was found working when the Master returns. But woe to the unfaithful servant who was found beating his fellow slaves because he believes his Master is delayed. Then last Sunday, Mother Paula told us about the 10 bridesmaids, 5 wise bridesmaids who had enough oil for their lamps for the wedding procession, and 5 foolish bridesmaids who didn't seem to care that they did not have enough oil for the procession. As Paula said, when the moment came to respond, the foolish bridesmaids were not prepared for the long haul. The next Sunday, spoiler alert, Paula will tell us about the separation of the sheep and goats, and how Jesus emphasizes the importance of our serving others when he exclaims that whenever we do something for the least of the people, we do it for him. Jesus wants us to do what is good and what is right, and to focus on God's kingdom here on earth. Today, Jesus tells us the parable of the talents, in which the harsh words of judgment for the one talent man shock us and seem out of character from the kind, loving, and forgiving Jesus with whom we are comfortable, our good shepherd, the Prince of Peace. However, we must realize that Jesus loves us so much that he does not shy away from jarring us with this parable. He wants to make sure that we follow him, love our neighbors as ourselves, live our lives through him, and ready our lives for him. If shocking us helps ensure that we follow his way, then so be it. Now let's take a closer look at this parable. To start off, what is a talent? At one point in the time of Jesus, a talent was a unit of weight, but then came to mean a large sum of money, estimated at what an ordinary laborer would earn over 15 years. Today, we define talent as a skill or ability. On the surface, this parable is about taking the talents, money, and skills we are given and actively working to risk and grow our talents and share them with others. While this is all well and good, on a deeper level, it seems to me that this parable really is about trust and faithfulness. The master entrusted his servants with 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent, and then left. He didn't even give them any instructions, but he trusted them. 2 of the servants went out at once and traded their talents, doubling the value from 5 to 10 talents and from 2 to 4 talents. They trusted the master and were faithful to the trust the master had bestowed upon them and the risk the master took and leaving so much with the servants. In response to the risk and action these 2 servants took, the master said the exact same thing to both of them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of my kingdom. The master didn't heap extra praise on the servant who earned more money. He praised the effort, regardless of the amount gained or likely even lost. Then there is a servant who received 1 talent, which, as we learned earlier, is a very large sum of money in his own right. Instead of being empowered by the master's trust and risking in kind, the servant was afraid of the master, who he considered to be a harsh man, and therefore hid the master's money in the ground, so we could return all the master's money to him. He really did nothing. He showed no effort and tried to protect himself by not taking a risk. The master clearly was not pleased to characterize the servant as wicked and lazy, and noted that the servant didn't even invest the money with the bankers so as to earn interest on the principal. Actually, according to Jewish law, the servant did not do anything wrong. Because in Jesus' time, if you hid money in the ground, you would not be held liable if the money were stolen. While this may have been culturally acceptable, that is not Jesus' goal for this parable. So while we may have been shocked and jarred when Jesus quoted the master as saying, "As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth," Jesus did not want us to miss the point. Jesus realizes that if we are honest, there is a certain part of us that easily can identify with the one talent servant who is afraid, frozen by fear. As long as I will live, I will never forget the first time I climbed the ladder of the really high dive at our local pool and stood frozen on the edge of the diving board. Fear can immobilize us. Also, perhaps a servant did not have the skills to double his talents. Perhaps he needed someone to show him how to do it. As we learn and grow from childhood to adulthood and throughout our lives, we need someone to trust, to mentor and guide us, someone who knows how to risk it all. Jesus knows that and stands ready to be our mentor and our guide. Though Jesus jars us with this parable, he wants us to look beyond the fear of the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and focus on living into the joy of the Master, into the joy of God's kingdom. This is a parable, a story, and Jesus is imploring us to be ready for the kingdom, to live our lives by trusting God, by growing and daring to take risk for ourselves, and ultimately for God. In so doing, we will experience God's life for us from a more loving, gracious, and generous perspective, because God's love casts out fear. Amen.